Hey, everybody, you're listening to another episode of Big Shiny Takes. I'm one of your hosts, Eric Wickham, and I'm joined, as always, by my friends, Jeremy Appel.
Hey.
And Marino Greco. You know what? Like, it's so weird that Tim Allen stole that from you, like, 20 years before you were alive.
I know. Back when we were both dealing coke.
We should get Tim Allen on the show.
Yeah, let's do it. Do you know him?
I don't, but I mean, well, he's like, he can't be that busy these days.
That's true. You don't hear much about Tim Allen.
Sorry for missing the last episode. I listened to it with Emma Paling. It was very, very good. So if you guys didn't listen to that one, I feel like you should. Yeah, sorry for missing the last episode, boys.
It's all right.
That's okay.
I understand.
We've all done it.
You were marching on Moscow with, you know, Prigozhin and the boys.
It was a crazy crew, actually. It was Wagner. It was Mike Bullard. It was Adam Zeebo. They really heel turned.
Yeah. So do you hear the deep state is going after Russell Brand?
Oh my God.
Because he's gotten too close to the truth.
That's the least surprising news ever. I mean, I don't know. I try not to presume that I know celebrities. You never know. And I've certainly been surprised by a few revelations in the past couple of years, but that one's just like, he's just a slimy guy. I don't know. Whatever.
I mean, it does explain why he's pivoted to this, like, anti-vax sort of, you know, freedom convoy supporting position. But from the left, of course. He's a socialist. He just has...
The kind of socialist... Yeah, the kind of socialist that Elon Musk and Tucker Carlson rushed to defend.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean...
He's a Jordan Peterson socialist.
He's a... Just like the worst guy, and like I mean, it's very, the allegations against him are very serious, so I'm gonna try not to joke about it, but it's like sometimes it's not the people that you least suspect.
Yeah
honestly, I saw the headline and I got kind of like deja vu. I was like, didn't this happen already? Like, I had, because remember, like, I don't know, several years ago, before he did the, like, anti-vax weirdo pivot, he was, like, on TV talking about revolution and how he'll never vote, and then he endorsed Ed Miliband. But yeah, I actually got a copy of his book, which I never read, and I have it at my parents' house, and I think last time I was there, I tried to take it to a, like, used bookstore to just, like, get rid of it. And they're like, nah, we don't want it. because of his, like, anti-vax weirdo stuff. But apparently in that book, he talks all about, like, the things he did sexually. Which makes me wonder, what, like, I'm surprised Anthony Kiedis hasn't been Me Too'd yet. Because I read his autobiography and some pretty damning stuff in there.
Jeremy, I'm hearing that you're a reporter now for Progress Alberta.
The Progress Report is a subsidiary of Progress Alberta Enterprises Incorporated.
Created Limited.
I'm a staff reporter there. You know, very part-time job. Like, I'm still gonna be writing for The Orchard, and I'm actually going, well, by the time this episode's out, I will have been on assignment for Ricochet at the counter protest against the, like, Million Child March or whatever they're calling their, like, transphobic parade. So that's cool. Doing on the ground reporting. And I got this book. I don't know if you've heard about it. Yeah, I'm in the very late process of editing the book, and I sent it out to all the people who said they would blurb it, and about half of them got back to me. So I'm hoping the other half just got it and didn't say anything and are reading it now. But I'm going to go harass Archie Man when we're done recording.
It's been a hell of a summer. I feel like we haven't had a lot of episodes lately. I feel like we bring that up every episode. But lots of things have happened in the news and a lot of things have stayed the same. And I feel like this column is like, I don't know. It's like coming home a little bit.
Yeah. It's like we, I don't know. It just seems like everything is breaking in Canada. Cost of living crisis, housing, absolute dearth of inspiring political choices, at the federal level, I'll say maybe there's been some flashes of hope municipally in Toronto, but like whatever. Yeah. Sometimes it's, you just need to gather around and have a good laugh at an old favorite.
It's incredible how like things don't ever get less absurd. They get more absurd.
Oh yeah. Everything just gets worse.
Yeah.
In case you haven't noticed, listener, since we started this podcast, things have not gotten better.
it's not the podcast's fault, despite what people may have been saying to you. We have no control over things getting worse.
Oh, that's another thing. Speaking of Canadian Parliament, our boy, Sylvain Charlebois, is meeting with top grocery CEOs and cabinet. I believe today, and he blocked me on Twitter again.
No.
Yeah.
Damn.
Makes me kind of sad.
Well, it's like I'm doing a lot of food reporting these days for the Hoser, and I feel I'm like tangentially connected to his little world.
You should actually interview him because he doesn't know you, and we should ambush him on the podcast.
I already feel like I've flown very close to the sun by being cropped out of a photo tweeted by one of his sock puppets, lovely Natasha, that one time. I don't really want to know what he has to say. I feel like there's better people to talk to for actual reporting. You know, like he's more of like a talking head. Like, listen, the man got called to Parliament to talk, you know, to talk business. But for the work that I'm doing, I don't really want to talk to Sylvain. But for
this podcast is a safe space.
It's a pretext to lure him onto our podcast and we'll just make fun of him for like however long he stays.
For blocking me, for posting a picture of Mayor McCheese and saying that I'd tell my children that's who the food professor was.
That's a good one. But I as far as I know, Dreamy Natasha still follows me, so
yeah, she thinks about you a lot. She's like super interesting. Like, out of all the fake sock puppet accounts run by Sylvain Charlebois or someone very close to Sylvain Charlebois, that is the one that tweets about you the most. Or maybe more on GoGo.
Yeah, well, those are the two. So we'll see about that. Yeah. Neither of them have me blocked. I just saw, so
because, like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to be all conspiracy theory, but, like, those accounts only started talking about you after Sylvain deliberately stopped talking about you, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, come to think of it, what a weird coincidence.
it's super weird how that happened. These two accounts that have nothing to do with anything that seemingly post at the exact same time every time that they post.
Sylvain Charlebois could never handle the Death Note. It would be too obvious. He couldn't space the times out.
Anyway. It's true, though. It's true, and I know what that is. Okay, so today we got a column by Joe Warmington, old Sleepy Joe. I don't know if you guys listening at home are familiar with the man, the myth, the legend, Joe Warmington. Jeremy and Marino are pretty familiar. Any highlights, lowlights that we feel like we need to share about Joe, or are we just trusting our audience to really know?
Well, I mean, yeah. What can you say about Joe? I mean, he's the people's champ. You know, he once got his notes mixed up and wound up quoting fake Drake lyrics in a column. That was probably his highest moment, I would say.
I don't know anything about this guy. I believe he has me blocked on Twitter.
Oh, he used to.
Yeah.
He used to have me blocked. And then Sean O'Shea from Global News tweeted that he was on scene somewhere with Joe Wormington. And I was like, tell him to unblock me. And Sean said, I don't have magical powers. But then Joe unblocked me. So, you know, I guess Sean O'Shea does have magical powers.
Yeah. Classic Sean.
You put in a good word for Jer Bear.
Yeah, so Joe Wormington, never written a good column. Makes them interesting, though. And this one is called Remembering the Too Many Cops Who Died on Duty. How many cops is too many?
Really? I mean, any.
Yeah.
Any death is a tragedy.
Yeah, and that's what Joe thinks as well. Well, that's what Joe thinks about cops dying.
Yeah, well, mileage may vary, but...
it's like, every time he goes past a funeral home, he, like, checks to see if there's any cops dying, and if not, he just leaves. He's like, this doesn't matter. It's just people. These are people. These aren't heroes.
Yeah, they probably deserved it.
Yeah.
He might care if, like, a Hooters business owner died.
Oh, yeah. That was another great Joe poem.
Yeah.
Was Joe, right? Where he was talking about the impact of lockdowns or COVID restrictions on small business owners. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so he went to the Hooters on what is that, King and John?
Yeah. The mom and pop establishment.
So good. That is like it's like ChatGPT, right? A Joe Wormington poem. It just spits that out. I'm actually going to do that right now.
All right, do it and then give us the headline afterwards. But yeah, like Joe is, I mean, as the people's champ, he has all the worst takes. He was anti-lockdown, of course, you know, helped push the Dominion voting systems conspiracy down in the States by doing late night walks downtown and taking pictures of the building that Dominion Voting Services was in Toronto and, you know, getting the floor wrong and stuff. It's wonderful stuff if you can find the old set of tweets from him. But he has probably the best like CV for like dog shit takes.
Yeah, I mean, he's the people's champ.
Yeah. And so this is, before we get into it, this is a cops are heroes and we need to remember them for their sacrifice that they made for our freedom, which, I mean, it's kind of blending narratives from other organizations, but that doesn't seem to stop Joe. Does anyone want to describe the main image of this piece?
Well, yeah, it's just, you know, four average, you know, Canadians who are coming out to support our boys in blue, but they're wearing red and they're holding up a Canadian flag, so I get that matches, but like, shouldn't you be wearing blue?
I mean, it would make sense, but Jeremy, you're kind of burying the lead here, because if you look closely at one of those four guys,
oh, is that Don Cherry?
Yes, it is Don Cherry, the police officer.
Yes.
Someone. It's funny, and because obviously he makes an appearance in this column, which we'll get to shortly. But someone should look into how often Joe Wormington quotes Don Cherry in his columns.
That would be some good data journalism.
Yeah. Because it's like no one else does that. So props to Joe for being an innovator.
It's just including Don Cherry just to keep him alive. Give a ring on the old landline to shake the dust off the phone.
Yeah, Don Cherry's kind of like some sort of like a lick or a necromancer of some sort, like subsiding off of like Ron McLean and Joe Warmington's life force. Just anyone who he comes in contact with, these police officers, they were all planted with a bug.
Well, like, listen, I don't want to speculate about Don Cherry's private life, but he for sure has a blood boy. Like, this is the most blatant shoehorning of Don Cherry of all time. Like, it's usually like a Remembrance Day piece where he like does like an informal coach's corner for Remembrance Day, which is also very stupid because Don Cherry did not serve in World War One or Two, but he did talk about hockey on television. So
I just picture Joe Wormington calling up Don Cherry to talk about like whatever, like I don't know, he's writing a piece about gang violence, and he's just like, "Hey, great, what do you think of this?" And then just writes what he tells him, like a good reporter.
Yeah, he's like, these.
Right? You gotta get both sides. You gotta get Don Cherry and someone who's not Don Cherry.
This is classic Joe, and I feel like we should save the actual analysis for when we read it. But who wants to take us in?
I'll do it.
Oh, thank you, Jeremy.
Okay, so the headline is Remembering the Too Many Cops Who Died on Duty. All right. Every shift is risky. Every call is potentially dangerous. Every person who puts on that police uniform is prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice. Sadly, sometimes they do.
Sorry. I like that he had to say sadly, though. It's just like,
yeah,
it's like,
just in case you're wondering where he stands on the issue of dead police officers.
He's not happy about it.
Yeah.
This might be controversial. I don't think everyone is actually prepared to make that ultimate sacrifice. I think a lot of police officers have exhibited notable cowardice, like that one who didn't rush into that school to save.
Oh, you mean the entire department in Uvalde?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was the entire department. It wasn't just that. It was like the big humming and hawing situation. In fact, I have, this is a bit of hearsay, but I used to do martial arts with a guy who would train the cops. And he had said, like, in a lot of situations, the police will just not enter like an active situation to like, you know, protect themselves. They're not really, Joe's taking a bit of a liberty here, I think, in terms of their willingness to go in all in.
This is the thing that I think makes this piece interesting is because it's like entirely prefaced on this hero worship of a profession, right? Mm-hmm. Like Joe needs you to know that these are the greatest heroes of all time and they have the most dangerous job, even though statistically there's way more dangerous jobs. Like mm-hmm. I was reading yesterday that crossing guard, like legitimately, like more crossing guards die in the United States than police officers on duty. It is one of those things that I think it's just this myth perpetrated by the right that we have to respect the cops because they're doing this stuff for us when really they're not really doing anything for us. They're doing stuff so they can get paid and then go home into their nice place in the suburbs, right?
Yeah, I mean, what are some other more dangerous professions than policing? Because, like, it's just so built into our culture that these people are, like, making the ultimate sacrifice. But, I don't know, is maybe working in the oil sands? I wonder how many workers have died in the oil sands or working in long-term care?
So, like, if you take the list from the Industrial Safety and Hygiene News website, which is, I mean, an American site, logging workers is number one. And then, I mean, this is a little timely, considering the F-35 that is unmanned and flying somewhere in the United States. It's probably landed by now. But aircraft pilots and flight engineers, derrick operators in oil, gas, and mining, roofers, garbage collectors.
Pretty much driver, several versions of drivers, basically.
Yep, delivery drivers, farmers, firefighting supervisors, power linemen, agricultural workers, crossing guards, crane operators, construction helpers, landscaping supervisors, highway maintenance workers, cement masons, small engine mechanics, supervisors of mechanics, heavy vehicle mechanics, grounds maintenance workers, and then at 22 we have police officer. So, I mean, we are venerating the 22nd most dangerous job in the United States from a 2018 study.
Yeah, but you have to understand that things in Canada are totally different.
Right.
Yeah, we don't have mass incarceration or police brutality. That's just you've been watching too much Law and Order.
Well, also, like, we don't have airplanes, so that actually,
Yeah, that too.
yeah, it bumps police up the
Yeah.
list one.
So you gotta, have a little perspective.
Should we jump back into this?
I would like that. If you recall, he's talking about how dangerous policing is, and that sometimes police officers make the ultimate sacrifice. Also, sometimes crossing guards too, and you don't hear Joe Warmington writing about that.
What about arborists, etc.?
Yeah.
Okay, we won't get back to that.
That's why the 19th annual quote unquote run to remember from Queen's Park to Parliament Hill is an important reminder of that reality. Wow, that's a long run. They're running from Toronto to Ottawa with 280 runners slated to start their run at 8 a.m. on Thursday. Their numbers will
Oh,
swell to
shit.
500 participants by the time they arrive in Ottawa at around 3 p.m. on Saturday. So yeah, I mean, it takes a couple days in a bit.
It's a long run. I mean, 500 is not that many people.
Yeah, I guess people join up on the way, right? From like Kingston and other cities east of Toronto. The event is designed to show that officers who had not come home at the end of their shifts are remembered. Not sure how it does that, but okay.
It's so weird because, like, I mean, this is a mean point, but Joe Warmington would be someone who wouldn't particularly love virtue signaling. But is that not what this is?
Well, it's exactly what that is. But when you talk about virtue signaling in like the right wing media sphere, you're talking about like woke college kids, right? Not like things pertaining to promoting law and order or tradition or any of that. That stuff's good. That stuff needs to be. It's the stuff that actually impacts like ordinary people that is virtue signaling.
Right.
Now, they'll also be meeting with about 165 cyclists participating in the Ontario Police College's Ride to Remember. Running in memory of fallen officers, a year when we have lost 11 in Canada, provides a reminder there's nothing routine about being a police officer. I'm not sure how it does that.
That's so ridiculous. I mean, I'm not gonna. Genuinely, I feel for the families if your spouse or whatever fell in the line of duty, but like there's a lot that's routine about being a police officer. The first thing that comes to mind when I think of the profession is like standing in on like a sunny day directing traffic or something, just like loitering. That's what they do most of the time. That seems to be the typical police officer experience.
They also harass homeless people, and so you have to give them credit for that,
Yeah.
and that makes them heroes.
They illegally surveil people by looking them up in their database while they're bored. Coffee and donuts, of course.
Getting paid
That's routine.
overtime to help crowd control at Scotiabank Center, you know?
Yeah. Beating up gay people. No, I mean there's a lot of routine that goes into being a police officer.
Yeah. Being the number one line item on the Toronto budget at $1.2 billion.
And getting pay increases. That's routine. I mean, every other municipal department is constantly being told to find efficiencies and do more with less, but police routinely get their budget increased. Now, we're going to go to a quote here from Detective Sergeant Bob Hackenbrook of the Peel Regional Police. What a great name, Bob Hackenbrook. For the runners that participate in the 3-day relay, it is their way of fulfilling that pledge, that promise, that they will not forget those who have made the ultimate sacrifice in service in their community, their province, and indeed their country. Okay, now Joe, back to Joe. This is his analysis. When you have that many officers down in 1 year, reminder, he's saying 11 officers. That's the magic number, okay? Keep that in mind. It's not really a matter of remembering. The truth is they can't forget. The names of those who have fallen in the line of duty will be added to the National Memorial on Parliament Hill in Ottawa. Yeah, and another reason they can't forget is because newspaper columnists act like it's the deadliest profession, like, in human history, when it is not at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Beyond this just being kind of like a sad hero worshiping exercise for Joe, it's just misleading, right? Like, okay, 11 people dying, not good. I'll say that. Do I have specific opinions about the police? Yes. Yes, I do. I don't think that factors into the fact that someone dying is bad. In 2022, there were more than 11 deaths in Toronto's homeless population. There were 187 reported deaths in 2022. And I'm not seeing Joe's column about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish some of the funding for the police went to some sort of preventative measure in to, like, I don't know, get people off the streets or any sort of housing. But, I mean, whatever. Let's fund the police, which are, by definition, a reactionary sort of enterprise, right?
Like, this level of concern trolling and, like, you know, making people feel like this is the national tragedy we should be focused on. It's like, it takes me 2 seconds to find numbers that actually are more dramatic than that and more mm-hmm. pressing.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so now he lists the 11, all right? We got a list here. OPP Sergeant Eric Mueller, RCMP Constable Shailen Yang, OPP Constable Grigors Pirchala, I'm sure I didn't pronounce that correctly, Constable Brett Ryan, doesn't say which police service, Edmonton Police Constable Travis Jordan. Now, Brett Ryan is an Edmonton police constable, but as you know, Post Media columnists don't get edited, so, right, they died in the same incident where they were shot by a guy, obviously having a mental health episode, who also shot his mom, and they're... their funeral was all the fucking Edmonton media talked about. It was like the queen died.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, as you're listing these officers, I'm already aware, because each individual police death gets so much media coverage, like days of it, like parades on CP24. Like, the amount of money that goes into covering their deaths as well is...
Hey, they did their job for you. Like, I don't know. I don't think they need a parade every single time one of them dies. I'm going to be super honest with you. I think it's silly. They had a parade for a dog, for God's sake.
Oh, God.
That's right.
Like, that's exactly.
No, but we'll get to that in a moment. But let's keep going with the list, okay? Simcoe Police Constables Devin Northrup and Morgan Russell. Quebec Provincial Police Officer Sergeant Maureen Bro, RCMP Constable Harvinder Dami. Dami died after he drove his car into a concrete pillar on the highway. Now, obviously, like, I don't think he deserved to die. I don't think police officers deserve to die. But His vehicle hit a concrete barrier, and that's all we know. That's all we know. No one in the media asked, okay, well, how did his car come to hit a concrete barrier?
That'd be insensitive, Jeremy.
Yeah. So that's minus one because he did not die in the line of duty. He died in the line of duty in the sense that he was being paid to drive his car into a concrete barrier.
Yeah, he's wearing the costume.
Yeah.
Like, it's not good that he died. Again, I don't know why I'm saying it that aggressively, but like, it's not a good thing that someone just died randomly. Is it more sad because he's a police officer? Am I supposed to feel more sad that he died rather than, you know, one of the 187 homeless people last year?
That's the implication of this article.
Mm-hmm. And then there are two more. OPP Detective Sergeant Stephen Torringo and Toronto Police Constable Andrew Hong. And Stephen Torringo, would you believe it, also died in a vehicle collision. According to reporting in the Simcoe Reformer, there wasn't even a formal police funeral for him because he crashed into a school bus and killed the school bus driver near Woodstock. And again, these vehicles just collided. Also, this bus driver died. He was also killed, is actually how the Simcoe Reformer reporter refers to it.
Right. And then, like, that came straight from a police release, right? Like, the details that just came. But, like, I don't know. I don't want to speculate on any vehicular fatalities that had happened in small town Ontario, because those details will be lost to time, right? Like, but like the bus driver who got killed while also at work, like the idea of him having, you know, a state funded funeral for his service to his country, like that'd be ridiculous, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you say that, you know, you sound like you're from Mars when you suggest, hey, maybe this bus driver who was killed on the job, who may have also been a public servant, but he also may have been working for some shitty contractor, killed in there. I mean, the bus driver is literally killed in line of duty.
Yeah.
They were doing their job while this cop crashed into them and killed them both. But yeah. And how many bus drivers have died in the past year? Why don't we get Joe to look into that? Anyways, Joe. He's done his list for now. He says, it's far too many. Each of these cases range from infuriating to senseless and tragic.
Is that a scale?
Yeah. Well, I would say the cop who crashed into a bus driver and killed him, that would be infuriating, senseless, and tragic. But, you know.
Yeah.
And he wrote, in many of these cases, the alleged killers were known to police and or impaired. Well, in the case where the guy drove his vehicle into a concrete barrier, and the case where a cop drove his car into a school bus, the alleged killers were definitely known to police because they were police.
Yeah, unless Joe is saying that the concrete pillar is the killer in this situation, which is highly insensitive, in my opinion.
Yeah. And then Joe continues, this is who they're running for. Okay, the run also does not forget York Regional Police Constable Travis Gillespie, killed on his way to start a shift in a car accident, might I add. And Sault Ste. Marie Constable Orette Robinson, who was killed on his way home after work, also in a car accident. Their names don't go on the wall because technically they were not on duty.
Like, the more I listen to you read this column, the more I realize that this is just like advocacy for better, like, safety on motorways. And in 2021, the number of motor vehicle fatalities was up to 1,768. So 1,768, which was up 1.3% from 2020. Which is actually, like, not a lot of people were driving those days. Everybody was working from home, and well, not everybody, anybody who could was working from home. I don't see his column for people dying while commuting again, just if they're commuting to a specific job.
I think the same could also be said. He makes that pot shot about, like, people were known to police or impaired, and it's like, oh, we're positioning our brave officers against these like criminal elements, and it's like, I don't know. Well, there's other solutions to that than just policing.
Didn't they have to close the bar at one of the Toronto police stations because so many officers got in trouble for impaired driving?
Oh, good point. I think that's a really relevant point to make when you're sort of like making it seem like, oh, all the criminal elements are the ones that are always impaired.
Yeah. So,
anyways.
Yeah, now we get to the good stuff. One of the things the country misses about losing Coach's Corner on Hockey Night in Canada, Don Cherry always shared pictures and stories of our fallen officers, troops, and firefighters, ensuring they were remembered. There's a superfluous space between word and remembered, as neighbors, fathers, sons, brothers, sisters, moms, and daughters.
Yeah.
No grandparents?
No grandparents.
You got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, anyways, Don Cherry, looking great.
What a hunk. Yeah.
Yeah. Cherry has been supporting the run since 2014 and said he's honored every year when they call. If the police need me, I am there, said Cherry. 89. 89 and looking... I said that, not Joe Wormington.
He's always on call. The police need him. Yeah, they need an extra man.
He writes like he's Batman.
He's just...
They just put up the Cherry symbol and it's something like racist. And then he just... Anyways, Cherry also says, they're always there when we need them. Well, they're always there when you need them, Don. Yeah, not so much when, say, you're a racialized gay person who is telling them that there's a serial killer on the loose.
Yeah.
To cite a recent example.
It's not fair to cite recent examples, though, Jeremy. You know?
That's true. It is a bit ageist.
Just because. Yeah. First of all, Don was napping the entire time that he was getting fired from the cushiest job in Canadian media because he couldn't stop saying racist shit. So he doesn't even know that happened.
But this is like, this column is elder abuse. Like every time Joe Wormington calls up Don Cherry and he's like, hey, grapes, what do you think of this? That is elder abuse as far as I'm concerned. This guy does not have his faculties.
No. He never really did, too. Like, he's never like a sharp guy. But yeah, it's... Age has not helped him in that department. I will never get over how fun this paragraph with one of the things the country misses about losing Coach's Corner after listing a bunch of cops that died. That's wild. The best to ever do it.
Yeah, truly. Anyway. Grapes invited them over to his house again for a picture to promote the run. But admit this year is extra somber because there are just so many new names and faces being honored. That is 11 people. Say, how many people died of COVID-19 last week?
I would say four times that.
Yeah, a bit more than four times that. 48 people died of COVID, which Joe Wormington, you know, is very concerned about. Those lives are precious, and he believes all deaths are tragic, right? Which is why he's written a column about the 50 people who died of COVID. It's coming, I'm sure of it. Anyways, let's pretend this quote from Don Cherry is about people who died from COVID, okay? It's really hard to see what has happened in each of the cases, said Cherry. My heart goes out to the families. Wow, I agree with him on something.
Wow. Yeah, and it's like, I struggle with this quote from Cherry because, again, it's such a low bar to show empathy for people dying. Like, again, we feel bad for the families. We wouldn't ever write a column about this.
Yeah. Anyways, back to Hackenbrook. Do you remember Hackenbrook? This is bad writing because it just goes, Hackenbrook said. It's like, who's that? Say, oh, the Peel region... police is Hackenbrook.
Yeah.
And that's like, oh, that guy.
Right.
Anyways.
Who can forget?
Hackenbrook said participating officers are happy to have Cherry's backing. as well as the support of all well-wishers, including those who honk horns while passing runners along the route.
Jesus Christ, who cares? Oh my God. What, like, just, you know what? Further to Eric's point, like, yeah, this is such a waste of time. That paragraph is just nothing. There's no information was conveyed there. We are happy that people came out to support our run to remember 11 cops who died.
This should be on like a blog from a guy in like, I don't know, like Acton, Ontario. And it is in one of the few remaining large papers in the largest city in Canada.
All right, we got a quote. Quote from Hackenbrook, right? I mean, that's how you do it. You have a paraphrase in that quote, right? The Run to Remember is a 460-kilometer relay that makes its way through many communities between the start at the Ontario Police Memorial site in Toronto to the end of the National Memorial on Parliament Hill in Ottawa, said Hackenbrook. Shouldn't that have been higher up?
That's, yeah, that should be like right at the top. But he was yeah. busy listing fatalities from this year and last year.
Yeah, like what? Like I've been okay. Anyways, more than 550,000 has been raised and donated to the memorial fund during the last 19 years. If you want help, npomr.org has a list of charities. I wonder how much of that more than $500,000 is actually going to the officers' families.
Oh, like that telemarketer scam documentary.
Yeah, I wonder.
What's?
I mean, maybe it does. Maybe all of it goes.
Yeah, you know. Probably.
Every officer who participates understands the risks of the job. When it gets tiring during the marathon of marathons, they find the strength to keep going because passing the finish line ensures their peers are remembered. No, it doesn't.
It does not. It's also not the marathon of marathons. There's a guy with one leg who ran much farther by himself while he had cancer.
Yeah, I was just thinking of Terry Fox, too.
It's just...
Like, that's if anything with such Terry a Fox weird ran, thing to just drop. Like, oh, it's called this now.
This is such Terry Fox erasure. It's so crazy.
It is. It's also Bingo erasure.
Yeah, the dog.
Imagine Bingo once.
Single time.
I mean, I wonder if the police union is gonna write an angry letter to him like they did Olivia Chow for not mentioning Bingo. Of course, that's a joke because he wrote like 5 columns about this fucking police dog that died. In the line of duty. In the line of duty, because, you know, as we know, police dogs, you know, they signed up. They signed up to make the ultimate sacrifice. Anyways, we're back to Hackenbrook. The long and sometimes grueling hours of running allow the participants the opportunity to reflect on the sacrifices of those brave officers whose names are etched on the memorial wall in Ottawa, and their families who have had to endure the pain of their loss. Wouldn't just looking at the memorial wall do that? They also just have to look at who is running beside them to remember just how much was stolen. No, seriously, who are they running with? With us will be 16 family members of fallen officers. These amazing people are part of a survivors group called SOUL. Survivors of law enforcement. Now, when I think of survivors of law enforcement, I'm not thinking of families of police officers who died. For surviving family members, no effort can bring back their loved ones unless... but as Cherry said, those left behind at least know people appreciate the fallen, quote, while understanding they lost their lives trying to ensure their community safety by driving into a concrete barrier.
Yeah, it's, again, like, I think the takeaway from this column is that Joe fundamentally doesn't understand the role of policing in society, right? Like, he thinks of it like a child thinks of Paw Patrol. It's just like, oh, they're the good guys and they keep us safe. When really, like, there's a lot of reading you can do that would explain to you why you're a fucking idiot for thinking that. Joseph, just like his entire worldview is predicated on the fact that there are good guys and there are bad guys, and the good guys look after us, and we have to ensure that these people are venerated and every turn.
Joe's just like a 1980s wrestling guy living in an Attitude Era world.
It's so childish, you know? I like the reference, by the way.
I think if you lost a family member who's a cop, I think it's nice that they have this little run. I think that getting $500,000 on top of whatever, you know, generous life insurance policies and police like funding on top, like whatever they already get, is that really necessary? I have questions about that. Like, that's,
yeah, well, I don't really know what the money goes into. Perhaps marketing for this fun run. This is like $500K over 20 years as well, right? Like,
oh, okay. So never mind. That's not crazy, maybe.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, when I was watching that telemarketers documentary, I was like, someone called me and asked me to donate money for like fallen police officers' families, I would just be like, don't they have pensions? Like, what?
Yeah,
what
that's,
do you need?
That's kind of what I'm getting at. Yeah, like, what, personally,
what do you need? Like, I'm fucking poor. Like, why do you need me to? I mean, and you know, cops are paid well.
They're paid well. They get a parade.
Yeah,
for overtime is like not a thing for any job.
Yeah. Well, I can think of one job, and it's the job that is the ultimate sacrifice. It's the ultimate sacrifice, Marino. Remember?
Crossing guard?
Yeah. This is such crossing guard erasure, too. Like, I actually liked my crossing guard, too. Like, they tell me not.
Yeah, everyone likes their crossing guard.
I would, like, long after I graduated, if I was coming home to see my parents, I'd wave at the crossing guard. Because they were nice to me.
Well, I found some Canadian stats. The top 11 most dangerous Canadian jobs in, or I guess from 2021, because this was published in January 2022. This is from WB White Insurance. And so like an insurance company, I mean, they know which jobs are most likely to get you killed. And guess what jobs isn't on this list?
If you say cops, I'm going to lose my mind, Jeremy.
Yeah. No, cops are not on this list, but fishing and trapping is actually the most dangerous job in Canada. Mining, quarrying in oil wells is second.
Well, like, I think the thing that we need to remember, Jeremy, is that people that don't have the special hat and the ability to shoot people while working don't put their lives on the line when they die at work. They don't make the ultimate sacrifice, and they are not rescue heroes.
Garbage men die more than cops. But I just wanted to, Joe had a follow-up column on the column we just read. And I just want to read you sort of the headline, first two paragraphs, and the last paragraph, all right?
Yeah.
Headline, Wormington. Police officers are human too, despite their superhuman feats. and that's spelled F-E-A-T.
Yeah.
Like, you know, feet. Sometimes people think cops are superhuman. Then comes the reminder that they are in fact just human. But humans who sometimes do super things.
They also do some other things, Joe. Why don't you talk about that sometime?
That's stellar prose, Joe.
He's an infant. Like, he really is. Just
No. But this is how it ends. This is good. This is good shit. They may not be superhuman, but they are superhumans.
Oh my!
Sorry. <All right.> What the fuck?
And then the same day, which is today, actually, as we're recording, September 18th, he wrote that column. And He wrote a column both sidesing the anti-trans, hate protests that are happening in 2 days, and saying, I mean, some people like trans people, other people hate them. Like, I mean, both make some good points, right?
Joe will go to the wall for the cops all the time, but everybody else is just, they're not superheroes, so it doesn't matter. And it's just
Well, hold on, they're not superheroes. Heroes who sometimes do super things.
That's true. That's true, and I'm sorry for saying otherwise.
In this transphobic drivel, there are a couple, there are a couple of paragraphs that are of interest from this. Remember, both sides, anti-trans, pro-trans, whatever. Everyone's great. Police are preparing for this event to be as challenging as the Freedom Convoy was in February 2022. I don't think the Freedom Convoy was challenging for police
Yeah, no,
officers.
they got a vacation.
Yeah, they got overtime to like hang out with their buds. Like that's sources say, I wonder where these sources
Could
are
be
coming from.
anybody.
They work for. Have brought officers in on overtime and called back those on annual leave in order to provide an all hands on deck response. No, I'm pretty sure they're just calling in cops to score some sweet overtime. But okay. Then quotes from Canada Anti-Hate Network talking about how this is like a miasma of Christian nationalists, COVID conspiracy theorists, sovereign citizens, and anti-public education people, and homophobic conservative Muslims. And then he says, "My view is Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, Premiers Doug Ford and Danielle Smith, Mayors Olivia Chow, Mark Sutcliffe, Andrea Horvath, and what about Amarjeet Sohi?"
He's just naming
He
the people
said,
he
"Premier."
knows. He's just like, oh, what are their
Yeah,
names?
the names he can
What are the
pronounce
names?
should remain neutral and call out everything to remain peaceful. I don't know why there's out here. Just call for everything to remain peaceful. The police already have a difficult enough problem without politicians inflaming it. Right, so the police here are this neutral
Yeah,
group.
they're also the victims in this situation because they actually have to do their fucking jobs. Like, it just, I don't know. I worry about the man's brain sometimes, Like, I don't know how his take is. Like, maybe we should all just like make sure that the politicians stay out of it. It's like you stay out of.
Let's just join hands and support the boys in blue.
Was gather around the TV and watch a Coach's Corner episode while the Toronto Maple Leafs lose to the New York Islanders. Any final thoughts about Joe Warmington and his wonderful prose?
Well, I asked ChatGPT to write a couple Joe Warmington columns for us while we were recording. You want to hear a
Yeah,
couple?
let's hear them.
Okay, first one. Russell Brand, comedy maverick or political firebrand? To be fair, ChatGPT only goes back to 2021,
Right, right,
so
right, right. Bad timing.
another, the unsung heroes of our streets, the risks and rewards of being a crossing guard.
What?
Wow. Joe's branching out.
Well, I just asked them to write a Joe Warmington column on crossing guards.
Honestly, like, Chat Joe PT is better than original Joe.
Oh, he's way better.
Yeah.
Way better. Here's another one. The melody of childhood in praise of ice cream men.
You should release one of those on the orchard.
Yeah, maybe I will. Maybe I will. All right. Yeah, I think that about does it for today.
We got to do the plugs and recs.
Well, I said about does it for today.
Okay.
It does it for today.
Okay.
All right,
It's
settle
like we
down.
haven't done the show in a while, but it's like you didn't forget the format, did you? I haven't done the show in like 2 months. I miss it. Yeah, but this is part of the show where we talk about things that we read or wrote in the last little bits. And that stuff specifically is good, typically. Or it's something that we made. I'm going to be recommending stuff that I'm doing. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But Jeremy, tell me about what you've been working on.
Well, I'm going to be covering pro-LGBTQ counter-protest outside in Alberta, or at least in Edmonton. The Million Child March, or whatever it's called, is protesting outside the Teachers Union headquarters, which I believe is in deep South Edmonton. I don't know. I'm going to get there, but I'm going to be covering that for Ricochet. So that will that should be good. Haven't done some on the ground reporting, I think, since, actually, wait, that's a lie. I was at the Carbon Capture Conference last week, which you should read. Read my piece from The Orchard on the Carbon Capture Conference I went to, the Coachella of greenwashing, as I called it. It's a two-parter. First part, anyone can read. Second part is for paid subscribers only. So check that out. But I'll also be having a Ricochet piece regarding the pro-LGBTQ counter-protest Wednesday. Hopefully nothing, you know, hopefully there's nothing too bad coming out of that in terms of, you know, threats to community safety. But I'm sure if there are, the police will definitely put a stop to it pretty quick.
There are heroes. We wrote a column about that.
I bought a domain for The Orchard, so I can actually post links on Substack and they on Twitter, and they don't get throttled. So I'm excited to.
That rules.
Yeah, I'm excited to try that out and see. If it's worth the money. I suspect it is, because my Substack growth has really been stymied by Elon's like temper tantrums. So that will be fun. And lastly, I started reading the new Naomi Klein book, Doppelganger. And I've read maybe about like 30 pages so far. And it's quite long, but it's really impressive how she takes the premise that people mistake her for Naomi Wolf all the time, and it started driving her crazy during the pandemic when everyone was just on social media all the time, and Naomi Wolf like really went off the deep end, and like got a lot of mileage out of that premise. So I'm looking forward to reading the rest of it, but yeah, that's it for me.
Okay, sorry for jumping the gun on you a little bit there, Marino.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm still a working stiff, so no discernible reporting to speak of. I am taking a voiceover class with the Second City, which is exciting, and lots of homework. There's a lot more to it than I thought, but I'm actually kind of serious about it as a career shift, so stay tuned on that, dear listeners. And yeah, other than that, I've been trying to consume a lot more art, by which I mean I watched The Bear, that TV show about a chef. It is, hey, it's fantastic. Everything you've heard is correct. I've been reading a poetry book, just a random collection of poems from Al Purdy, who I'm enjoying quite a bit. That was a recommendation from our last guest, Emma Paling, so that is a good recommendation. Thank you, Emma. And yeah, I'm also reading this other book that is I've been watching a lot of these GQ essentials where like cool famous actors like suggest things, and this one actor suggested this book by Matthew Haig called Notes for a Nervous Planet. It's okay. It's kind of like a dumb self-help book that is just like, oh, isn't life crazy in 2022? It's like, yeah, I know, Matthew Haig.
You're like, yeah.
We're all going through it together.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say that your voice sounds richer and more, there's more warmth emanating from you, which I didn't think was possible. I'm going to say a nice thing.
Oh.
Been working on stuff. I'm losing my mind currently because I'm taking on a couple more podcasts, and I'm working hard on the Hoser's Grocery Food Price Tracker project that I guess I am the project lead on. We're launching something fairly big on the 25th. Head to thehoser.ca and check it out. I've been trying to track grocery prices across the city, seeing where things are a little bit cheaper, things are a little bit more expensive, tracking specific brand names across a couple different stores, seeing where some discrepancies are. Everybody thinks groceries are too expensive. I just want to do some data journalism and have some usable data to point at for once and do some real investigations. So look for that next week. Gentlemen, it was really, really good to catch up with you. We got to do this again sometime soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Let's do it.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
You want to record another episode right now?
It's Big Shiny Takes, the only anti-freeze speech podcast. Big Shiny Takes, reading garbage for your brain. It's Big Shiny Takes with Jeremy Eric Amarino. Big Shiny Takes are sure to entertain. Are sure to entertain.